Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You probably know the story. Bluesman Robert Johnson went down to the crossroads, sold his soul to the devil, and became king of the Delta Blues. But what really happened? I'm John Schaefer, and today on Soundcheck, the truth behind the legend. It may surprise you, and not for the reason you think. Also today, live music from the cast of the hit Broadway musical Once. Let's start with that old idea that truth is stranger than fiction. I don't think anyone really believes that Robert Johnson met the devil at midnight at the crossroads outside of Clarksdale, Mississippi, and exchanged his soul for an unnatural musical gift. But finding the truth behind that tale has proved to be a very challenging task. A recent podcast from our friends at Radiolab tries to solve the multiple riddles of Robert Johnson, and Radiolab host and producer Jad Abumrad has traveled all the way from the office next to mine to be with us on Soundcheck today.
It was a long walk, John.
So you have been sort of obsessing about Robert Johnson and his legend, this myth.
Yeah.
For many years.
Yeah, it's been about 12 years that this has been sort of knocking around in my head.
Why? I mean, explain for folks who perhaps aren't aware of why Robert Johnson is such a singular figure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the musicological answer would be that this is a guy who, he was, as you said in your intro, he's been famously proclaimed the king of the Delta Blues. I think you could make an argument he's one of the founding fathers of rock and roll because his sound went immediately into Eric Clapton and some of that sort of folk revival rockers of the 60s, hugely influential on the British rock that sort of invaded our soil
right around
that time period. And but personally, it's hard for me to answer why I've been kind of just thinking about this for so long. And it has, I think, to do with the music itself. I mean, there's something kind of spooked about the music. There's something kind of haunted about it. And of course, I knew the story. And I always felt a little uncomfortable at the way in which the story fed back on the music and made the music better. It made me want to understand what really is at the heart of the story.
Almost too good. This guy goes to the crossroads, sells his soul to the devil at midnight, and then he cuts records like this one called Hellhound on My Trail.
Hellhound on my trail, hellhound on my trail. It's the devil's Christmas Eve. It's the devil's Christmas Eve. And tomorrow's Christmas Eve. It's the devil's Christmas Eve. And tomorrow's Christmas Day. Oh, wouldn't we have a time, baby? I would need my little sweet ride. I just time away, to pass the time away. You spank a hot foot bottle around my door, all around my door. You spank a hot foot bottle around your daddy's door.
Hellhound on My Trail. That is from the bluesman Robert Johnson. Jad, he is clearly a figure of history, and yet this kind of mythic figure of legend as well.
Yeah.
So now you and Radiolab producer Pat Walters went on a road trip.
Yeah, we just sort of, I mean, this was, you know, generally when you try and do these stories, you try and have an idea that you're trying to solve or a question in your mind. This was very much the, you know what, Pat, let's just go down there and see. I initially thought maybe people have go on pilgrimages to the crossroads because they want to sell their souls to get to be a great guitarist like him. So I thought, let's go to the crossroads, see if anyone is camped out, you know, or just to see what happens. But ultimately, that led us on this sort of very strange meandering journey through the history, talking to people in Memphis and all these all the various places.
But you did go to the crossroads.
We did.
The crossroads of Routes 61 and 49 there in Clarksdale.
We went to that one, and you've probably been, so you know this, but that one is a horrible tourist trap. It's a four-lane highway with a
photo
big,
on our website, by the way, folks.
It's a terrible, terrible place. It's a big two guitars crossed sign in the middle of all this
traffic.
Too
terrible even for the devil?
I think Well, so we asked around. We were like, is that the real Crossroads? Apparently there are thousands of crossroads,
yeah,
just any
yeah.
place where roads cross. And someone pointed us out into the sort of murky blackness at night and said, actually, you want to go a quarter mile in that direction, go past three railroad tracks, you'll see that's the real Crossroads. Mm. So that's where we ended up standing and waiting for the devil. And, of course, he never showed up.
So he didn't come and take your soul in exchange for an unnaturally successful radio program.
No, he didn't. But at midnight, we did see a shooting star.
Okay.
So I don't know what
you
that
got
means.
Something out of it. Your journey to find out the truth behind the legend of Robert Johnson led to a number of surprises.
Yeah.
Surprise number one being that the legend begins not in Clarksdale, Mississippi, but here in New York.
Yeah, we didn't actually know this until we went to Memphis to find this out, but it starts actually uptown here at Carnegie Hall on a very specific day in 1938.
And that is when John Hammond, the legendary impresario, the guy who discovered Billie Holiday and Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan and
Franklin.
The list goes on and on, puts together this concert, and his idea is to kind of, it was called From Spirituals to Swing.
Yeah, his idea was that he was a lover of black music, and also he found segregation odious, rightly so, obviously. And he wanted to sort of make a statement, and a musical statement, and also a political statement to the New York elite. So he thought, I'm going to have sort of an educational all-day concert that goes from spirituals all the way up to swing, which was sort of the vanguard at that point.
Right.
And just sort of marching chronologically through all of these amazing bands, you know, Benny Goodman, Count Basie, Joe Turner, tons of other bands, going through each genre in turn with little bits of lectures in between mm-hmm. each.
And so for his blues representative, he wants Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
And in your podcast, Tom Graves then picks up the story.
And he gets up and he tells, well, the big surprise of the evening was to bring you this guy that I discovered recently, Robert Johnson. And we just found out that he died. But I still want you to hear him, and we're going to play a couple of his best songs.
How did he play it?
He played it on a phonograph record and mic'd it through the PA system.
Right there on stage?
Right there on stage. Drops a needle. And he played one of them was Preaching Blues, which happens to be maybe my favorite. And you can just imagine these spellbound people in this audience. Hearing a record being played through the PA. It was very obvious something different was going on. I mean, what a remarkable thing.
And that was, in a sense, Robert Johnson's, I guess not in a sense, it was his introduction.
It was his debut.
That's my guest, Jad Abumrad from Radiolab, and Tom Graves telling the story of John Hammond finding out Robert Johnson is dead and being reduced to playing, not reduced,
yeah.
It seems like it must have been a really magnificent.
It must have been ghostly.
Yeah.
Sort of, I mean, the absence of the guy.
Was it the springboard for Robert Johnson's music?
In a sense, I mean, it wasn't instantaneous. You know, I mean, he laid dormant. I mean, I think the people in that audience probably were spellbound, but then went about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only 5,000 or so records in circulation at that point. So he didn't blow up by any means. But you kind of have to fast forward about 25 years, and you get to a time when sort of the war years had sort of ebbed, and the music that people had been listening to was changing, and suddenly they were getting into folk again. And John Hammond, again, the same guy, was seeing this change and decided, as he was seeing, you know, Pete Seeger and some of these guys, you know, doing the folk revival, maybe now is the time to release a Robert Johnson compilation. And so he re-releases Robert Johnson's music as its own album, calling it King of the Delta Blues. I believe mm-hmm. that was the name.
Right.
And that falls into the hands of Eric Clapton. You know, it sort of goes overseas first, and mm-hmm. Eric Clapton hears it, does a cover of Crossroads, which was on the album, and that cover is really the springboard.
This is the group Cream and their famous cover of Robert Johnson's Crossroads. Eric Clapton and Cream. So they cut a cover of Crossroads.
Yeah.
Robert Johnson. Suddenly his name, it's the 60s, his name is in the air again.
Yeah.
30 years after he's been dead.
Yeah.
And there is still no, we still don't know anything about him. So where does the legend of him selling his soul at the Crossroads come from?
This is sort of an interesting game of telephone that happened right about this time. So you had this song hitting. People were really interested in not just Robert Johnson, but the blues music in general. And people were really interested in finding out more about these musicians. So you had musicologists traveling down south to the Delta to do these interviews with the various bluesmen. And you get a guy named Pete Welby, who is a... would you call him a musicologist? I guess he was sort of a writer slash musicologist.
Yeah.
I make that distinction.
Whether you want to call him a musicologist or not will sort of depend on how you view
what's about
the story. Yes,
exactly. So he goes down there to do an interview with a very famous bluesman named Son House. And now Son House apparently was one of the guys that used to laugh at Robert Johnson, because the story of the myth goes that Robert Johnson was really terrible. He would get on stage, play music, and the real bluesmen would laugh at him. Then he goes away to the Crossroads, sells his soul, comes back, and he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So Son House basically says, tells the story. Yeah, this kid would get up there. He'd make this terrible noise. The audience would be, you know...
take that guitar away
take
from
that,
him.
Take that, yeah, get him. And so, and then he went away, and he came back, and he was amazing. Well, we don't know what happened. And Pete says to Son House, is it possible that he may have sold his soul to the devil? And Son House... we don't have a transcript of this conversation, mm-hmm. but, you know, Son House likely said, yeah, sure, it's possible. I mean, when we went to do our own reporting in Clarksdale, everybody we asked said that, essentially, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have happened. I don't know.
it's not an uncommon story. I mean,
no,
Paganini in 19th century Europe, the great violinist, rumors that he sold his soul. Rumors that he started the rumor that he sold his soul to get his violin.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So where does Pete Welby come up with this idea to plant this seed, which, by the way, he then runs with and publishes, Son House told me.
Exactly. No, here's where you get to the funny game of telephone. So if you rewind a few years, another musicologist named David Evans. This is going to involve some pronoun confusion.
Okay.
So bear with me. So David Evans goes down. David Evans was one of these sort of blues fans who mm-hmm. became fascinated and went down to the South as well. He was fascinated with a guy named Tommy Johnson, another bluesman, no relation to Robert Johnson, none at all. In fact, if you hear his music, musically he had no relation. He would mm-hmm. do this sort of much more lilting, yodely style blues. Didn't sound haunted in the way that Robert Johnson did, and they were not brothers or anything. He loved Tommy Johnson, was trying to find Tommy Johnson. Tommy Johnson turned out to be dead. But somebody who knew Tommy Johnson referred him to Tommy Johnson's brother, Liddell Johnson. Again, no relation to Robert Johnson. He goes to talk to Liddell Johnson. Liddell Johnson, and we have a tape of this, tells him an amazing story about Tommy Johnson.
You could sing any kind of tangle-up song you wanted to, and I bet you he would play it. And I'd ask him, now, if Tom was living, he'd tell you. Now, he done told him, that my wife tell you, he said it. The reason he know so much, said he sold himself to the devil. I asked him how. He said, if you want to learn how to play anything you want to play and not learn how to make songs yourself, said you take your guitar and you go where a road crosses that way.
Crossroads.
Where a crossroad is. And said, get there, be sure to get there just a little before 12 o'clock that night so you'll know you'll be there. And said, you have your guitar and be playing a piece, sitting there by yourself. Said, you have to go by yourself and be sitting there playing a piece. And said, a big black man will walk up there and take your guitar and he'll tune it. And then he'll play a piece and hand it back to you. Said, that's the way I learned how to play anything I want. And he could. Now, he told that, didn't he?
So that is Liddell Johnson talking about his brother, Tommy Johnson, selling his soul at midnight at the Crossroads to the devil.
To the devil. And he's talking about this to this guy, David Evans.
Right.
who then takes this tape, goes back to, I believe it was UCLA, where he was studying, and is telling his friends. You wouldn't believe what this guy Liddell Johnson said about his brother Tommy. He was telling this amazing story about selling the soul to the devil. In the room is this guy Pete Welby, the guy we introduced earlier. Pete hears this. And again, this is a story about Liddell Johnson, who is three steps removed from any relation to
right,
Robert Johnson.
Right.
Pete hears this and thinks to himself, you know, this would make a hell of a lot more sense if it were about Robert Johnson, because Robert Johnson has a song called Crossroads, a song called Hellhound on My Trail. He's more of the devil guy. I bet this is about Robert Johnson.
He's even got a song called Me and the Devil Blues.
Devil was walking side by side. Me and the devil was walking side by side. And I'm going to beat my woman until I get satisfied.
So Robert Johnson, Me and the Devil Blues. He also records Crossroads. He also records Hellhound on My Trail.
So the confusion makes sense in a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete Welby was being a little bit of a novelist there and sort of confabulating connections that weren't there. But, I mean, it does in some sense make a kind of sense that this would be a Robert Johnson story, not a Tommy Johnson story.
All right. So, but it is Tommy Johnson who, according to his family, gets good at the guitar by selling his soul. Robert Johnson, we don't know what happened, or do we? This is one of the other surprises in the
story. Yeah, so this was, you know, we were hearing the story, it was simultaneously exciting to feel like you had gotten somewhere in your reporting, but also a bit deflating because there is, again, something in the music that I want to believe that something of the myth is true, not the devil selling your soul part, but that there is something that could explain the feeling you get when you listen to that music. So we kept digging, and we ended up finding a guy named Mac McCormick, who's another sort of musicologist, who told us a story he ended up actually tracking down Robert Johnson's early wife's family. I think it was Alabama. I can't remember exactly. And he ended up finding out a story about Robert Johnson that in some way re-explained the myth.
Robert Johnson was married in 1929, but he was quite young.
He was about 18, says Mac, and he met a girl named Virginia, and he fell in love.
When he married, he made one of the important decisions in his life, which was to live a conventional life.
They were going to live on a farm, raise a family.
Up until then, he'd been a kind of a casual party musician. And his wife, Virginia, became pregnant. She decided to go back to her family to have the child.
He was going to join her, but right before she was due,
Robert went off playing.
Kind of snuck off to play a few gigs before the baby was born.
And when he went to visit her, he found that she'd died in childbirth. And he was faced with this incredible community condemnation of what you've done to Virginia, because he was in Virginia's childhood community at the time, and they looked upon him as an itinerant evil musician who was singing the devil's songs and who killed Virginia. And he gradually became that person that the community saw him as.
And that is from the Radiolab podcast that follows Jad and Pat on their trip through Mississippi, the Delta, Memphis, looking for the truth. So do you feel at the end of the day, Jad, that you got something like the truth?
Well, when we encountered that story, we felt like we had, we understood what the music was haunted by. It wasn't the devil. It was grief. It was some kind of deep loss, because that's what you feel when you hear the music. You feel someone who has drifted away from society because of some kind of deep pain. And so we felt like we'd gotten somewhere. But then we called up Mac again just to sort of get his thoughts currently on it, and he completely disowned the story. He said, "You know what? I think I was I think I was full of it, because I've done some additional research, and I think that Robert Johnson who lost his wife might have been a different Robert Johnson, because I looked at his death certificate, and on the back of his death certificate, turns out that Robert Johnson played the banjo. We happen to know that the real Robert Johnson never recorded any banjo music. Robert Johnson's a common name.
Right.
So here we are at the beginning again, where we know nothing about the guy, and he's re-ghosted.
Well, it's not that we know nothing about him. We know about the relatively small number, I think it's 29 songs,
yeah.
The canon of the great Robert Johnson. We're speaking with Jad Abumrad of Radiolab. Radiolab is on tonight here in New York at WNYC-FM, tonight at 8 o'clock, a search, the hunt for patient zero of the AIDS epidemic tonight at 8. Jad's going to stay with us because we've got some other Radiolab-related business to attend to. Here, though, a little bit from Robert Johnson.
A woman I love took for my best friend. Some joker got lucky, stole her back again. He better come on in my kitchen.
Up next, Jad is sticking around to share with us some new music recorded specifically for Radiolab's Colors episode, and then later, a live performance in our studio from the cast of the hit musical Once. This is Soundcheck.
And I'm looking for a sign. And this a dark, uneasy time. If you have something to say, you better say it now.